you have your Bibles, we are going to get started in 1 Samuel chapter 16. Where we will begin. It's good to see all of you out this evening. We have a guest here tonight. Many of you may not know, but I'm taking classes at Union University this summer, and one of my classmates, Jamiason Hadley, is here visiting with us, so we appreciate his presence here with us tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 16 is where we will begin. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, King Saul sinned by saving spoil and sacrificing sheep. So the Lord rejects him as king. God calls upon the prophet Samuel to head to the household of Jesse to find another king. And so Samuel makes his way to the household of Jesse, and he examines seven of Jesse's eight sons, none of whom the Lord desired. And so in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 11, the text says, "Then Samuel said to Jesse, 'Are all of your sons here?' And he said, 'There remains yet the youngest, but behold, he is keeping the sheep.' And Samuel said to Jesse, 'Send and get him, for we will not sit down until he comes here.'" Verse 12, "And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. And the Lord said, 'Arise, anoint him, for this is he.'" This is he. This is the Lord's anointed. This is the sweet singer of Israel. This is the man after God's own heart. This is the king of the Jews. This is the king of Israel. This is he. How fascinating. How incredible and how remarkable is this? Here in 1 Samuel chapter 16, as Samuel strove to find another king, he enters into the household of Jesse, and the Lord's anointed was not the eldest son of Jesse. The Lord's anointed was not the tallest son of Jesse. It was not the biggest son of Jesse. It was not the baddest son of Jesse. Here in 1 Samuel chapter 16, as Samuel strove to find another king, it was the lowly, rugged shepherd boy with beautiful eyes. And what we will see tonight is, all throughout his life, this young, ruddy shepherd boy's beautiful eyes were filled with tears until the day that he died. You see, even though David was the Lord's anointed, even though he was a man after God's own heart, even though he was the king of Israel, even though he had a lot of prestige and power, David was a man who was not immune. He was not immune to sadness. He was not immune to suffering. He was not immune to heartache, nor was he immune to heartbreak. We will soon see, all throughout his life, he is pouring out his heart to the Lord. All throughout his life, we see his tears, we hear his cries, and we are incredibly touched by his pure and tender heart. In Psalm 6, the sweet singer says, "I am weary. I am weary with my moaning. Every night I flood my bed with tears. I drench my couch with weeping. My eye wastes away because of my grief. It grows weak because of all of my foes." The Lord's anointed would continue to say in Psalm 30 and verse 5, "Weeping may go on at night, but joy comes in the morning." The king of Israel would cry out in Psalm 30, 39, "Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Hold not your peace at my tears, for I am a sojourner with you, a guest like all of my fathers. Look away from me that I may smile again before I depart and am no more." And finally, the man after God's own heart would say in Psalm 56 and verse 8, "You have kept count of my tossings, put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book?" All throughout Scripture, we see his tears, we hear his cries, and we are incredibly touched by his pure and tender heart. And so this evening, as we consider 1 Samuel chapter 16, as we consider this scene in the life of King David, and as we consider the weeping king, the question that we ask ourselves is what? What made him mourn? What made him lament? What broke his heart? What made the king cry? If you have your Bibles, we will now be in 1 Samuel chapter 20. In 1 Samuel chapter 20, we learn that King David weeps as he flees from Saul. We know that Saul was an enemy of David. Saul was a man who was jealous of David. We learn back in 1 Samuel chapter 15 that Saul was rejected as king. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, David was anointed as king. And so because of this, Saul, for most of his life, is trying to take away David's life. We see this from 1 Samuel chapters 19 all the way through the end of the book. And so here in 1 Samuel chapter 20, we learn that Saul's own son, Jonathan, had this type of brotherly love with the man after God's own heart that couldn't be matched. Saul's own son, Jonathan, and David were best friends. Jonathan learns that his father, Saul, is out to kill David. He briefs David on his father's plans. David is headed out of the city, and in 1 Samuel chapter 20, we learn before David exits the city, he and Jonathan have one final moment together. In 1 Samuel chapter 20, starting in verse number 41, the text says that David rose from beside the stone heap and fell on his face to the ground and bowed three times, and they kissed one another and wept with one another. David weeping the most. Here in this passage, we see tears. Tears filled the eyes of the king, for he was a man who was terrified for his life, and he was a man who was heartbroken over having to depart from his best friend, Jonathan. This evening, we're asking ourselves, what made the king cry? Here in 1 Samuel chapter 20, we learn that King David cries as he's fleeing from his enemy, Saul. But not only that, in 1 Samuel chapter 30, we learn that King David cries after his wives and his children are captured. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, King David and his men are still fleeing from Saul. They've made their way out of Philistine territory back into familiar territory. They make their way into the city of Ziklag. And when they get to Ziklag, they notice that the city has been burned up and destroyed. And all of David and all of David's men's wives and children are captured. When they notice what has taken place, the text says in 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 4, "Then David and the people who were with him raised their voices and wept. They raised their voices and they wept until they had no more strength to weep. And David's two wives also had been taken captive, Ahinoam in Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because all of the people were bitter in soul, each for his sons and for his daughters." This evening, we're asking ourselves, what made the king cry? Here in 1 Samuel chapter 30, we learn that tears were brought to David's eyes when he got into his city and he noticed that all of his wives, all of his children, and all of his people had been captured and taken into captivity. The weeping king, all throughout his life, we see his tears, we hear his cries, and we are incredibly touched by his pure and tender heart. We see it in 1 Samuel chapter 30, and we also see it in 2 Samuel chapter 1. In 2 Samuel chapter 1, King David weeps over the death of Saul and Jonathan. In 1 Samuel chapter 31, we learn that Saul and Jonathan are killed in battle. And here in 2 Samuel chapter 1, when the king learns of the death of his enemy Saul and his best friend Jonathan, his eyes are filled with tears. The text says in 2 Samuel chapter 1, 2 Samuel chapter 1, starting verse 11, "Then David took hold of his clothes and tore them, and so did all of the men who were with him. And they mourned and wept and fasted until evening for Saul and for Jonathan his son and for the people of the Lord and for the house of Israel, because they had fallen by the sword." Verse 17, 2 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 17. "And David lamented with this lamentation over Saul and Jonathan his son. And he said, 'It should be taught to the people of Judah. Behold, it is written in the book of Jasher.' He said, 'Your glory, O Israel, is slain on your high places. How the mighty have fallen. Tell it not in Gath. Publish it not in the streets of Ashkelon, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised exult. You mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew or rain upon you, nor fields of offerings, for there the shield of the mighty was defiled, the shield of Saul not anointed with oil. From the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan turned not back, and the sword of Saul returned not empty. Saul and Jonathan, beloved and lovely, in life and in death, they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. You daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you luxuriously in scarlet, who put ornaments of gold on your apparel. How the mighty have fallen in the midst of the battle. Jonathan lies slain on your high places. I am distressed for you, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant have you been to me. Your love to me was extraordinary, surpassing the love of women. How the mighty have fallen and the weapons of war perished." What a fascinating passage of Scripture. A fascinating passage of Scripture that reveals the heart of the king. It is so interesting to me. It is so fascinating to me that Saul was David's enemy. Time and time and time again in David's life, Saul tried to kill him. But here we see at the end of Saul's life, David wasn't bitter towards Saul. David didn't have animosity towards Saul. David didn't have hatred in his heart towards his enemy. No. Here in 2 Samuel chapter 1, we see when Saul dies, he weeps, he mourns, he grieves, he laments over Saul to the same extent that he wept, mourned, and lamented over his best friend, Jonathan. This evening, we're asking ourselves the question, what made the king cry? Here in 2 Samuel chapter 1, we learn that King David wept over the death of his best friend Jonathan and over his enemy Saul. But not only that, in 2 Samuel chapter 3, we learn that David weeps over the death of Abner. In 2 Samuel chapter 3, we learn that for many years, the household of Saul and the household of David were at war. They were at conflict. They were fighting. They were feuding. The house of Saul grew weaker and weaker, while the house of David grew stronger and stronger. Within the household of Saul was an official by the name of Abner. Abner was a strong man. He was a mighty man. He was a man who was rising in rank. Saul's son Ishbosheth grew jealous of Abner, and so he begins to make all of these false accusations about Abner. Abner says, "I don't have to take this. I'm going to leave the household of Saul and I'm going to follow David." So Abner leaves Saul's household. He follows David and his men. David accepts Abner in his fold. Abner begins to rise in rank within the household of David. But unfortunately, there was a man by the name of Joab who too was jealous of Abner, and he has Abner killed. When Abner is killed, the king's eyes are filled with tears. In 2 Samuel chapter 3, starting in verse number 31, the passage says, "Then David said to Joab and to all of the people who were with him, 'Tear your clothes and put on sackcloth and mourn before Abner.' And King David followed the bier. They buried Abner at Hebron, and the king lifted up his voice, and he wept. He wept at the grave of Abner, and all of the people wept. And the king lamented for Abner, saying, 'Should Abner die as a fool dies? Your hands were not bound, your feet were not fettered. As one falls before the wicked, you have fallen.' And all of the people wept again over him. Then all of the people came to persuade David to eat bread while it was yet day. But David swore, saying, 'God do so to me, and more also, if I taste bread or anything else, till the sun goes down.' All the people took notice of it, and it pleased them, as everything that the king did pleased all of the people. So all of the people and all of Israel understood that day that it had not been the king's will to put Abner, the son of Ner, to death. And the king said to his servants, 'Do you not know that a prince and a great man has fallen this day in Israel? And I was gentle today, though anointed king. These men, the sons of Zerari, are more severe than I. The Lord repay the evildoer according to his wickedness.'" When David's friend Abner died, it broke his heart. It broke his heart, and it brought tears to his eyes. All throughout his life, we see his tears, we hear his cries, and we are incredibly touched by his pure and tender heart. Here in 2 Samuel chapter 3, we learn that the death of his friend Abner caused him to cry. And in 2 Samuel chapter 12, we learn that his sick son caused him to cry. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, we know that King David has sinned against the Lord. He has done a terrible thing. He has committed adultery with the woman Bathsheba. Bathsheba conceives a child. Because of David's sins, the Lord sends Nathan the prophet to tell him that this child that Bathsheba has conceived will die. And so in 2 Samuel chapter 12, we learn while the child was sick until the point of death, David fasted and he wept. The text says in 2 Samuel chapter 12, "And the Lord afflicted the child." We're in verse number 15. "The Lord afflicted the child that Uriah's wife bore to David, and he became sick. David therefore sought God on behalf of the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night on the ground." David fasted and he prayed to the Lord all day and all night on behalf of the child. Once the child passes away, the text says in verse 20 that David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his clothes, and he went into the house of the Lord and he worshiped. David gets up from his fasting, he changes his clothes, and he worships. His men are surprised by his changed behavior. The text says in verse 21, "Then his servant said to him, 'What is this thing that you have done? You fasted and you wept. You fasted and you wept for the child while he was alive, but when the child died, you arose and you ate food.' David responds in verse 22, 'While the child was still alive, I fasted and I wept, for I said, who knows whether the Lord will be gracious to me that the child may live, but now he is dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he will not return to me.'" Tears were brought to the king's eyes as he considered the imminent death of his baby boy. His eyes were filled with tears as he considered his sick son. All throughout his life, we see his tears, we hear his cries, and we are touched by his pure and tender heart. Here in 2 Samuel chapter 12, David wept over his sick son. And in 2 Samuel chapter 13, David weeps over the flight of Absalom. 2 Samuel chapter 13 is one of the darkest passages in Scripture. Back in 2 Samuel chapter 11, we learn because of David's sins with Bathsheba, God sends Nathan the prophet to tell him that the sword would not depart from his household. That begins in 2 Samuel chapter 12 with the death of his baby boy, and it continues here in 2 Samuel chapter 13. Here in 2 Samuel chapter 13, David has a daughter by the name of Tamar who is raped by her brother Amnon. David's other son, Absalom, is so upset and so furious with what his brother Amnon has done to his sister Tamar that Absalom murders Amnon. So here in 2 Samuel chapter 13, you have a horrible thing that has happened in the family of David. David has a daughter who has been raped. He has a son who is a rapist, and he has another son who is a murderer. Absalom murders Amnon, and Absalom flees the city. The text says in verse 34 of 2 Samuel chapter 13 that Absalom fled, and the young man who kept the watch lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, many people were coming from the road behind him by the side of the mountain. Verse 35, and Jonadab said to the king, "Behold, the king's sons have come, as your servant said, so it has come about." And as soon as he finished speaking, behold, the king's sons came and lifted up their voice and wept. And the king also and all of his servants wept bitterly. But Absalom fled and went to Talmai, the son of Amihud, king of Geshur. And David mourned. David mourned for his son day after day. So Absalom fled and went to Geshur and was there 3 years. And the spirit of the king longed to go out to Absalom because he was comforted about Amnon since he was dead. Again, another passage that reveals the heart of the king. Another passage that shows us how sensitive the king was. Another passage that shows us exactly why the king cried. This evening, we're asking ourselves, what made the king cry? Here in 2 Samuel chapter 13, we learn that the flight of Absalom caused the king to cry. But not only that, in 2 Samuel chapter 15, we learn that David weeps as he is fleeing from Absalom. In 2 Samuel chapter 15, the hearts and the minds of all of the people are in love with Absalom. Everyone loves Absalom. Absalom has conspired against his father. He has run David off of his throne, out of his kingdom, and far away from the city. As David and a few good men are making their way out of the city, the text says in 2 Samuel chapter 15 and verse number 24 that... Verse 23, 2 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 23, as they're making their way out of the city, all of the land wept aloud as all of the people passed by, and the king crossed the brook Kidron, and all of the people passed on toward the wilderness. As they're making their way out of the city, all of the people, David and his few good men, are weeping, they are mourning, and they are lamenting. The text continues to say in 2 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 30, "But David went up the ascent of the Mount of Olives, weeping as he went, barefoot and with his head covered, and all of the people who were with him covered their heads, and they went up, weeping as they went." Another passage that reveals the heart of the king. Another passage that shows how sensitive David was. Another passage that tells us how tender his heart was. Another passage that helps us understand what caused the king to cry. Here in 2 Samuel chapter 15, we learn that the flight of Absalom caused the king to cry. David running from Absalom made him cry. And in 2 Samuel chapter 18, we learn that David wept
over the death of Absalom. This is the final example that we will examine this evening. In 2 Samuel chapter 18, we learn that Absalom has been killed in battle. The text says in verse 9 that Absalom happened to meet the servants of David. Absalom was riding on his mule, and the mule went under the thick branches of a great oak, and his head caught fast in the oak, and he was suspended between heaven and earth while the mule that was under him went on. Verse 14, David's servant Joab says, "I will not waste time like this with you." And he took three javelins in his hand and thrust them into the heart of Absalom while he was still alive in the oak. And 10 young men, Joab's armor bearers, surrounded Absalom and struck him and killed him. Absalom, David's son, Absalom, the one who ran David off of his throne, is killed. When David learns of the death of his son Absalom, the Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 33, "The king was deeply moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, he said, 'Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would I had died instead of you, O Absalom, my son, my son.'" What a terrible tragedy. What an awful thing. Here we have a glimpse into the heart of a father. We have a glimpse into the heart of a father whose son has just died. We have a glimpse into the heart of a father whose son has died apart from the Lord. We have a glimpse into the heart of a father whose son has just died, and sadly, for most of his life, he and his son had a toxic relationship. Here we have a glimpse into the heart of a father whose son has just died, while he and his son still had unresolved conflict. And it's so fascinating to note that Absalom tried to kill David. Absalom tried to run David off of his throne. Absalom was David's enemy. But yet again, here in 2 Samuel chapter 19, we see that David did not hold grudges. David was not a man who kept hate in his heart. David was a man with a tender heart. He was a man who wept for his enemy. He wept for his son. All throughout his life, we see his tears, we hear his cries, and we are incredibly touched by his pure and tender heart. And so, tonight, we ask ourselves again, what made him cry? We've examined several passages in Scripture that tell us various reasons why tears were brought to his beautiful eyes. But friends, as we consider all of these scenes in the life of David, the common denominator is sin. Sin caused the king to cry. It was sin that caused Saul to run David out of the city. It was sin that caused David's wives to be captured. Sin caused Saul and Jonathan to die. Sin caused Abner to die. Sin caused David's baby boy to get sick and die. Sin caused Amnon to rape Tamar and Absalom to kill Amnon. Sin caused Absalom to rebel against his father. And sin caused Absalom to die. As we consider all of these terrible events in the life of David, it was sin that brought tears to his eyes. And so this evening, as we consider the weeping king, the question that we must ask ourselves is, am I bothered by sin? Does sin upset me?
Does sin bring tears to my eyes? All throughout his life, we see how David was a man who wept over sin. All throughout Scripture, we see time and time and time again how men and women of God weep over sin. The psalmist in Psalm 119 says, "My eyes shed streams of tears because people do not keep your law. My zeal consumes me because my foes forget your words. I look at the faithless with disgust because they do not keep your commands." Are your eyes filled with tears as you consider the spiritual trajectory of this world that we live in? Are you full of zeal as you consider the spiritual demise of the Lord's church? Are you brought to tears as you consider the hundreds and the thousands of people who may pass away without knowing the Lord because of sin? If not, shame on us. If we're not bothered, if we're not moved, if we're not touched by sin, then shame on us. In Amos chapter 6, the prophet Amos pronounces woes upon the nation of Israel for not being bothered by sin. Woe to you who lie on your beds of ivory, you're stretched out on your couches, you're eating the best food, you're drinking the best wines, you're listening to all of this wonderful music, you are living your best life, but you cannot care less. You cannot care less about the ruin of Joseph. If we wake up every single day, if we go throughout our day-to-day activities, if we go to work, if we go to school, if we spend time with our family, if we spend time out in the community doing who knows what, but we just passively ignore sin, if we take sin lightly, if we laugh at sin, if we join in on sin, if we are not bothered by sin, then shame on us. Sin should bother us, most importantly, because sin bothered our Lord. In Isaiah chapter 53, Jesus is described as a man of sorrows who is familiar and acquainted with grief. All throughout his life, we see how this proves true. In Matthew chapter 23, he wept over the city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem. He says, "Oh, Jerusalem, the city that stones the prophets and kills those who were sent to it. I wanted to take care of you. I wanted to do great things for you, but I couldn't. I couldn't because of sin." John chapter 11, we have one of the shortest verses in Scripture. John 11 verse 35, Jesus wept. The question we ask ourselves is, why did Jesus weep? There in John chapter 11, Jesus wept over the death of Lazarus. The next question is, why did Lazarus have to die? Lazarus died because sin entered into this world. Sin caused our Lord to cry. Christ was moved by sin. Christ wept over sin. Hebrews chapter 5, the Hebrew writer, as he's speaking of the humanity of Christ, says how Christ, in the days of his flesh, offered up prayers and supplications to him who was able to save him from death with loud cries and tears. Why was he offering up prayers and supplications to him who was able to save him from death? Because Christ would soon die. Why would Christ have to die? Christ had to die because of our sins. Christ, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, became sin so that we would become the righteousness of God. And so, friends, when we consider all that God, Christ, and the Spirit have done for us so that we could have eternal life, for us to go out into this world and callously, for us to go out into this world and blindly, for us to go out into this world without thought of sin is a terrible, awful tragedy. We must be people who are moved, touched, and bothered by the sins of others and by our own sins. Sin should bring us to tears. And so, this evening, as we consider all that was said, we see that David was a man who was moved and touched by many things in his life, but the common denominator was sin. We should be moved and touched not only because King David is a great example of one who wept over sin, but most importantly, we should be moved and touched because our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was bothered by sin. If you're here this evening and you are not a Christian,
we ask that you strongly consider becoming a child of God. You do that by hearing the word of God, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, having your sins buried within the watery grave of baptism, rising forth, walking, living every single day in newness of life. If you've done that before, but you've made mistakes and you would like to make things right this evening, or if you have any other spiritual need that we can help you with, please come to the front while we stand.